Shri Krishna gave the entire Gita. After Arjuna became a student. Then Arjuna continues the questions and Krishna answers and elaborates till 17, where he mentioned that the knowledge alone liberates you, and to be able to gain that knowledge you need to prepare yourself, qualify yourself, become a Brahmana. So those qualifications and everything was discussed. Then in 18th chapter again, before concluding, he summarizes. Again, it's in the form of Q&A. Arjuna is asking the question, the student is asking the question. Krishna, the Guru, replies the student and slowly concludes the Gita. So this chapter is called as Moksha Sannyasa Yoga. The yoga of liberation through renunciation. Now, everybody is actually aspiring for that goal of freedom. Moksha means freedom. Everybody wants to be free. Nobody wants to be bound. You understand? One thing that everybody aspires for is to be free. To be happy and free. How to attain that? That is only possible by renunciation, he says. Yoga of liberation, uniting with that freedom, achieving that freedom through renunciation. Now this word renunciation kind of gives us a little fear. It won't give us fear if we understood what Sri Krishna explained in the earlier chapters. Renunciation, whenever you hear the word renunciation, you should understand that renunciation is not possible without knowledge. Are you with me? And here the word renunciation again also means the same thing. Knowledge of the higher. When a flower matures into a fruit, the petals of the flower automatically falls away. But if you forcefully pluck the petals, it won't become a fruit. Are you with me? So when through the knowledge of the self, your attachment to the world drops. The moment the attachment drops, you become free. And due to attachments, you are increasing more and more vasanas. And we have seen the formula in Vedanta, God plus vasanas or desires equals man, human being. And the human being, when he or she removes the vasanas, becomes God again, or reveals the Godhood from within. So human being minus vasanas equals God. And that is only possible through acting with knowledge. And when you act with knowledge, slowly you rise above the vasanas. Right. So the word renunciation means growing up, not giving up. Understand this. The word renunciation means what?
Growing up,
not giving up. Like you grew up from toy world to cycle world, and the toy world gave you up. You did not give up the toy world. The toy world gave you up. In the same sense, you rise to the higher realms of reality, then detachment to the lower realms drop, and as a result, all the sufferings and sorrows that you experience drops. So in short, the world doesn't give you sorrow, your attachment does. Understand? Again, in this context, we have discussed an example which drives home the point. In English, they say when you stamp on a thorn, they say, I ran on a thorn. But in Tamil or in Hindi also, Hindi how do you say? In Tamil we say mullu kuthirch. As if the mullu means the thorn which walked and came and entered into your flesh. Hindi also you say the same thing. Kata chukwaya. Kata did not come by walk and then went into your feet. You were looking somewhere here and there, or maybe talking on the phone and walked. So you stamped on the
thorn,
you know. So that is why you are hurt. So similarly, it's due to your attachment to the world. World has a certain nature. And what is the nature of the world? Agama paginaha anityaha. He already explained all that. Matra pashastu kaunteya shita ushna sukadukkadaha agama paginaha anityaha tam nitikshasva bhagata. This world is what? Agama payina. They come and go. It is a constant flux of change. Right? And you must have a certain assessment. If you have a certain assessment about Delhi weather, climate, you know that certain periods of time it's going to be extremely hot, certain periods of time it's going to be extremely cold. You don't get attached. If you get attached, you will suffer. You constantly complain when it's cold or when it's hot. If you understand, then accordingly whatever preparations you have to do, and you keep moving. So therefore, the attachment only makes you suffer, not the world makes you suffer. Please understand this. So therefore, renunciation means knowledge, true knowledge. Now, like every chapter, I mean this chapter is in fact a big chapter, because I told you already, it's a summary. The two summaries, which is chapter 2 and chapter 18, are bigger chapters. Chapter 2 has 72 verses, and this chapter has 78. Put together they have 150 verses. So these 78 verses are also running in a certain thought flow, right? So which we may find it difficult to understand. So therefore, Swamiji has done research and he has given us in the form of topics. So we can clearly see the thought flow. So this chapter, which is 78 verses, has been split into 10 topics, which are there in the book. The first topic from verse 1 to 6 differentiates between sannyasa and dhyana. In fact, this chapter begins with Arjuna's question to Shri Krishna. He asks Shri Krishna, what is the difference between sannyasa and dhyana? Sannyasa means renunciation, dhyana means relinquishment. Both mean the same. But what is there any difference, and what is the difference? And that he is asking to Shri Krishna from verse 1 to 6, this topic is being dealt. And then Shri Krishna replies, and all that is done in between these verses. Then he goes into clear elaboration about tyaga, and he says this tyaga is of threefold: sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. So sattvic, tamasic, rajasic tyaga described from 7 to 12. Then the causes, incentives and constitutions of action from 13 to 18. Sattvic, rajasic, tamasic knowledge, karma and karta from 19 to 28. Action and acta. Karma means action, karta means acta. Jnana means knowledge. These three are also divided into sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, that is from 19 to 28. Then from 29 to 39, he discusses sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, buddhi, dhruti and sukha. Now, all this that he discusses, renunciation, then knowledge, action, actor, buddhi, dhruti, happiness. All he discusses three types.
Never heard the dog bark.
Sattva, rajas, tamas. And when you understand this particular portion, after understanding, you are supposed to do this analysis. Like I explained to you last week when I did summary of chapter 17. This portion beautifully brings out your personality. You can assess your personality. How much of sattva, rajas, tamas you have. From the time you wake up till the time you go to bed, you are either doing action or you are avoiding action, isn't it? All we want is what happiness. And if you want happiness, what do you do? Whatever actions you think will bring you happiness, you will do. Whatever actions you think will give you sorrow, you avoid that. So doing and avoiding is all we do. So avoiding you can call as renunciation, doing you can call as action. So something we are doing, something we are avoiding. So three types of renunciation, then three types of action. And action is not possible without actor. So three types of actor. Then actor cannot do action without some sort of knowledge. So the three types of knowledge. And he executes the action using certain buddhi. So three types of buddhi. And some kind of firmness or consistency is practiced. It could be stubbornness, it could be steadfastness with reference to results, it could be steadfastness with reference to goal. So based on that, three different types of steadfastness or consistency. Right. And all these actions are done for what purpose? Sukham, happiness, which again is split into three categories, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. So based on this, when you do your assessment, you are supposed to do 7x3 matrix. So when you clearly plot for 100, you take an average, you kind of know where you stand. How much of sattva, rajas, tamas you have. And we have already seen the goal of life is to move from tamas to rajas to sattva and beyond. Beyond means self-realization, which is beyond all these three gunas. These are the three mental temperaments. Everybody's mind has these three gunas. Sattva, composed, serene, calm, stable mindset. Rajas, restless, desirous, agitated, desirable mindset. Then tamas, indolent, lazy, lethargic, heedless mindset. All these three are there in us. The proportion varies. You understand? Like coffee. Without milk, decoction and sugar, there is no coffee. In some, decoction is high. In some, milk is high. In some, sugar is high. Right? But all these three permutation combination makes coffee. Similarly, sattva, rajas, tamas put together is your mind. Okay? So, to know your inner personality, when you do this assessment, you kind of know where you stand and then start working on yourself and do the same assessment after a year or so, then you should see some progress if you are properly following the sadhana. Then, based on these three gunas, the four different caste system has come. So then he talks about four castes and their duties. And here he very clearly mentions the action is according to each one's guna. You understand? Based on guna. It is not based on your birth. It's based on gunas, inclination. So four castes and their duties discussed from 40 to 44. Then 45 to 58, he talks about karma, bhakti, jnana. Through karma, action, bhakti, devotion, jnana, knowledge, and then finally, when you practice all this properly, you reach a meditative mindset. Your mind naturally flows into meditation, slide into meditation. You take to meditation, and through meditation, you reach Brahman. That is discussed from 45 to 58. Then in 59 to 66, technically Gita finishes, ends with 66th verse of chapter 18. Though it goes up to 78, the last verse technically is 66. So in this portion from 59 to 66, he says, Krishna appeals to Arjuna to reach that eternal abode. What the scriptures tell us is, we have three types of karmas. They are called as prarabdha karma, sanchita karma and agami karma. What are they?
Prarabdha, sanchita, agami.
What is prarabdha karma, what is sanchita karma, what is agami karma? Let us discuss now. You understand that, then I will explain to you why Krishna is appealing to Arjuna to reach that eternal abode.
Last one is agami.
Agami, yeah. Prarabdha karma and sanchita karma, first let us understand. Now, you have been acting in the world, desired. All of us act with some desire prompting it. Right? If it is selfish desire is an activity, you incur what? Papa or punya?
Papa.
If it is unselfish desire is an activity, you incur punya. If it is no desires but goal-oriented, obligatory-oriented, no pap, no punya. But majority of us in the world either do desired and selfish or desired and unselfish. Accordingly, we are collecting what? Pap and punya. Going on collecting pap and punya, pap and punya. Okay? The sum total of all the pap and punya that one has collected over many janmas, the sum total of all these pap and punya which has been collected over many janmas put together is called sanchit total. Okay? Are you clear? Like you have many fixed deposits, some for few lakhs, 10 lakhs, 5 lakhs, 3 lakhs, 2 lakhs, etc. etc. All these put together is a total investment. In that, some fixed deposit has come into maturity now. So from the total karma, that which has propelled you into this birth, it has matured and propelled you into this birth, is called prarabdha karma. Okay, so according to that prarabdha karma, you are given a body. It could be an insect or a plant or any other different animals or birds or human form. Samajhiya? You understood, no? Just like some fixed deposit which has matured, some karma has matured, that prarabdha karma has given you this body, which could be different species. And now that you are born as a human being, you do again activities which incur pap and punya. Okay? Now this pap and punya that you incur now on, after having been born, is called agami karma. This agami karma will also mix with sanchita. But, isn't it? Again mix with sanchita and become total. But, this is something that you are, this is not sanchita at the point of your birth. This is agami which you have created now. Are you with me? Now, having been born as a human being, you have a potential to burn up the sanchita karma and make sure you don't create any agami karma. How is this possible? Through knowledge. Okay. Prarabdha karma you don't have to worry, because prarabdha karma is that which has propelled you to birth. So that will manifest and exhaust through experience. You understand?
That is exhausted by your, when you are born, wherever you are born or how.
You are born and you are experiencing and exhausting it. You
that will get exhausted on,
by, on its own through experience. You understand? But sanchita karma you can burn through knowledge. Knowledge means what? Knowledge that you are not mamata, but you are atma. Why do I do any desire and activity? Why do I assume that I am a doer? I am an individual, I am an incomplete person, and send my thoughts towards the world to fulfill all this ignorance. Once again, the knowledge that I am atma, not mamata, you understand? With that knowledge, when I act, I gain neither punya nor pap. So I don't create any new agami, and my existing sanchita also gets burnt. And as a human being alone, we have the capacity to dabble with the sanchita and exhaust. Animals merely express their prarabdha and go to the next prarabdha, next prarabdha. The day it reaches the human embodiment, now the free will comes to even exhaust the sanchita. You understand? Are you with me? Animals don't do any action with the doership.
I want to ask a question.
Yes.
So what is the difference?
I told you, no? Some fixed deposit comes. You have. That prarabdha karma has propelled you to birth. Depends on that pap and punya set. You have a certain body. You are born in a certain family. Certain environment. Rich, poor, physically handicapped, not handicapped.
Prarabdha has no effect after birth.
Prarabdha has propelled you to this birth, given you this body, given you this parentage, environment and everything.
And then it's finished.
It's not finished. You are exhausting that prarabdha while you are living in this body.
In the situation.
Once the prarabdha is over, the physical body is given up. Then whatever is the next prarabdha? Accordingly, next birth. Accordingly, next birth. But if you are born in this world as a human being, you don't have to worry about prarabdha because that will get exhausted through experience. You just have to exhaust the sanchita karma through knowledge. Are you with me? So from now on, you act without doership, with knowledge. Just like how the animals act. Only difference is animals act without consciousness. They unconsciously do that. You can now consciously act without doership. So therefore what happens is, how do you increase your vasana? By constantly thinking about it. Please understand this. Your indiscriminate thinking increases the vasana. And when you don't send your thoughts towards it, it dries and perishes. And the new vasanas are also not created. Time and again I have said this, your action doesn't produce vasana. We studied the chronology of action. What is the chronology of action? From vasana comes thought. From thought comes desire. From desire comes action. Is that all?
So are the animals higher than us then? Because they are no doership. Why do we think we are higher than us?
Think the whole thing is different, but higher meaning you have the capacity to exhaust your sanchita vasana. Animals can only exhaust the prarabdha. They don't have the
conscious
choice.
But they have no path that means in them.
They don't
they
create.
Have no worship.
They will not create more path.
They will not create. They will not only create more path. But the sanchita is there. You understand? So whenever the prarabdha propels you to human birth, you have the access to exhaust the sanchita. So animals don't gather also, but there is a set of vasanas which is called sanchita. So now again come back, vasana, thought, desire, action. And again the loop is not over. We said action further produces vasana. Seed, sapling, tree, and tree again produces seeds. You understand? Seed, tree. And tree again produces seed. Similarly, vasana means your inherent inclinations, temperament. Okay? And from that, the thought comes. You have a certain inner inclinations. I have a different set of inner inclinations. So the thought of painting may come in you. The part of pottery comes in you, it doesn't come in me. Because I don't have those vasanas. You have those vasanas. Some other thought comes in me because I have those vasanas. You understand? From that thought, slowly if I keep on indiscriminately thinking about it, it becomes a desire. Now you have a desire to make pots. Okay. Then once you have desire, then you will go and actually make pots. That is action. But if you, while doing this action, your action is propelled by the desire, which means you are constantly thinking about the result and all that, the fact that you are constantly thinking about it indiscriminately, you will be producing more and more vasana. You will get into the loop. So how do you break this loop? By not thinking about the object. How? By using the intellect, you think about the goal, you set the goal and in that direction you act. Okay. Now, that way what happens is you are not constantly thinking about the desire, and by not giving importance or thought flow to that, it dries and dies. That way the sanchita dries and dies. And some sanchita has been given a direction towards the higher and they also get exhausted. You function without doership, the vasanas get exhausted. Which vasana? Sanchita vasana. So when you have exhausted all the vasanas, technically you are a liberated soul. You are without desires. But when vasanas are not there, then you think that you should die immediately. But it doesn't happen
because of
the prarabdha, which is still,
yes,
some is there, which he'll exhaust and he will die. So when a person exhausts all the sanchita, he's attained samadhi. When a person exhausts even prarabdha and dies, he's attained maha samadhi. Thereafter no more birth. So Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna, you are born in this human form, you have the capacity to reach that eternal goal. Don't waste this equipment in indulging in the frivolous sensual experiences and in the attachments. While you can go on play and all that, don't lose yourself. This is the beauty. Mahakavi Bharati, he sings a beautiful song. He says, Nalladur Vinay Seidu Adai Nalan Keda Purudhiyil Erivadundu. Mahakavi Bharati was a great Kavi who fought for Indian freedom. And on his name, the street is there. Which street?
In Madras?
No, here in Delhi. Very close to your house. This is the Khan Market Road.
Subramanya
Bharati Road is the Khan Market Road, you know. So he says, Nalladur Veena is saying that. Veena, you know. There's a beautiful Veena instrument. Then Nalam keda purudhiyil erivadundu. Will you throw it in the garbage? It's exactly what we are doing. It's a beautiful Veena. You should know how to play. This entire Gita is what? You give this instrument in the hands of Bhagwan, who knows how to play this. He plays it beautifully. Animals have unconsciously left it to that. Now we consciously have taken it over. I will do it. You understand? My will. My will needs to be surrendered to His will. Tera na mera. A peacock will not dance to make a living. A nightingale is not singing to make a living. A rose is not giving fragrance to make a living or to please somebody. Or today is a holiday. Nobody visits the rose garden in Chandigarh. So the rose says, let me not let out the fragrance today. You understand? Sorry, its nature is to express. Simply expresses. So, when the ego comes, when the I comes, when the me comes, the mind comes, I will do, I comes, it destroys, it becomes a jarring note. Understand? The flute has 5 + 2, 7 holes. The 5 holes are the senses and the 6th and 7th holes are the mind and intellect. The 7 holes flute has to be handed over to Sri Krishna, the Bhagavan, the ultimate Atma within you. And when you don't have the ego, the I doesn't come in, then the song of the Lord, which is called Bhagavad Gita, will be sung through your life. So when we keep saying study Gita, what we mean is, when you study Gita, what will happen? If you have really studied Gita properly, what should happen? Your ego will not come in between. I, as if I know. This I that I claim now is a very, very small circle. The big circle is not in small circle. Small circle is in the big circle. You must understand this. That's why Swami says, when you read a book, any book, he says, first you read the preface. If in the preface, even if there is one I, that book, he says, is not worth reading, according to Swami. And then he quotes one book, he says, The hero I saw. Apparently there was a book. And the book is full of I. So he said this book should be renamed as the I that saw Europe. So there is very little Europe and there is more I. You know? So that's the thing. That doership, that I, aham, that kartrutva bhava, when it is there, your actions, your relationships, everything becomes a jarring note. Okay, so when Sri Krishna says, Arjuna, you should reach that eternal abode, what does that mean? Which means the river merges with the ocean. When the river merges with the ocean, then what will happen? You will also be like the peacock. You will also be like the nightingale. You will also be like that rose. You will also be like that cow. You will also be like anything in nature, which will be expressing its nature freely, like a song. In fact, you become more productive. You understand? You are not running for anybody's sake, neither for your sake, for survival's sake, nor for pleasing anybody else's sake. You are just merely expressing the nature within, completely in unison with divinity. And therefore Sri Krishna says, you have the ability, Arjuna, with this knowledge, burn the complete sanchit vasana and start expressing your nature. In this context, what is that? The context of war, what is the nature of Arjuna? Kshatriya. We are Kshatriya. You can die, they can die, or all of you can die. The result can be anything. You are not a warmonger. You are not interested in war. It was thrusted on you. Now you simply express your nature. Are you with me? In tiger, there is no such thing as sinful tiger and virtuous tiger. Is that just expressing its nature? Simply express your nature. That's all. So he says, Krishna appeals to Arjuna to reach the eternal abode, 59 to 66. And once a person has reached that state, with knowledge is born Sanchita, he has no doership. He also will not have any agami karma. Because karma comes because of your doership, pap and punya. When there is no doership, action per se doesn't create any pap or punya. You understand? Huh? Action per se, there is no pap or punya. It is the intention, it is the doership. When there is no doership, there is no sanchita, no agami. Prarabdha will get exhausted and you will give up the body once it's exhausted. And the merger becomes complete. And then, with that, technically the Gita is over. 66 verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Bhavekam Sharanam Praja Aham Tva Sarva Papebhyah Moksha Ishyami Mahasucha. Don't worry, Arjuna. Gita starts with what? Verse number 11, chapter 2. I'm talking about technical Gita. Actual, the text...
Verse number 7?
11. 11. Chapter 2. How did he start? Krishna only said that. How did he say? He said, Ashocyan. How did he start? Ashocyan. Ashocyan anvashocastvam pragyavadamscha bhashase gatasun agatasun na anushocanti panditaha. The wise people do not grieve. So he started by saying, don't grieve. Okay, how does he complete? Maasuchaha. Which means what? Again, don't grieve. Your grief will be completely gone when you know the knowledge. What is that knowledge? That you are Atma, which is complete. Are you with me? So, he says, gain that eternal abode. While you have got this beautiful instrument called the human body, human mind and intellect, use it. Enjoy whatever the world offers, but don't get lost in it completely. In short, what he is trying to say is, completely ulta your priority. Make your priority topsy-turvy. If you have some time, then you give it for spirituality today. It should be, everything should be in line with that. Ultimately, that all matters. Nothing else matters. Isn't it? You come alone, you go alone. You ask your spouse, however loving, wonderful they be to each other, would you come with me? when I go. So I'll think about it. So you come alone, you go alone, and even now you are alone. And education is to learn to be alone, not lonely. You understand? Not that you hate the crowd or group, but you learn to be alone, then nothing can disturb you. That is true education. So therefore, reach that abode now. Use this opportunity. And then finally he says, the Lord assures his teaching will liberate his devotee. That is 67 to 73. And, you know, this teaching will ultimately liberate you. When? When will they liberate you?
When you liberate yourself.
If you?
Liberate yourself.
When you imbibe the teaching. See, teaching is given. Okay. But if you don't put in effort and imbibe it, it will not do any change. See, when the knowledge strikes, like the heat of sun strikes the snow or the ice, it melts. You understand? The ice is the ego. The ego will melt when this knowledge strikes you. And you got to keep on striking it with your reflection every day. Wherever you go, you sit and reflect for some time every day in the early hours of the day. That penetrates and crushes the ego, makes it dissolve. And as it dissolves, you are handing over the instrument to the divinity, is getting more and more complete. Then you will see your life itself becomes a Bhagavad Gita. Lord singing song. There is no jarring note whatsoever. Then in the final 74 to 78, Sanjaya, the charioteer, he is the one who started, no? Yes. Because the whole thing is narrated, what is happening on the battlefield by Sanjaya. So now Sanjaya glorifying Krishna and his wonderful dialogue. The Guru and the teaching. And in the last verse, what does Sanjaya say? Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanur Dharaha, Tatra Shri Vijayobhuti Dhruvo Nidhir Matir Mama. Indirectly, as a charioteer, what best he could do, he has already told his king. Who is the king? Dhritarashtra. What does he say? Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, wherever there is Shri Krishna. Yatra Partho Dhanur Dharaha, where there is Partha Arjuna, a great archer, wherever this combination is there, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanur Dharaha. The skill and everything I may have and I should have, but I must realize that it is small circle compared to the bigger circle divinity. So you will see that Arjuna bending down and Krishna giving upadesh. Vidya and Vinaya, where there is skill but underlined by humility. You understand? Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Shri Vijaya Bhuti. He says, this is my opinion. Matir Mamaha. What is saying? Now also it's not too late, Baba. Send a SMS or WhatsApp message to stop the war. These two fellows will finish us off because it's a deadly combination. What combination?
Krishna.
Krishna and Arjuna. Skill underlined by knowledge of the higher. Whereby humility is there. And therefore they will finish us off. But Dhritarashtra didn't get the message. He didn't send the message, SMS. So war continued, they were finished off.
Mm.
You understand? So ultimately this is the duty. How much of a skillful you may be? What is your skill? It's nothing. Einstein said, what is my knowledge compared to my ignorance? Then who are you and me? You understand? So therefore, we may have certain skills. That's why in that bhajan we sing when we do aarti, we say, Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. You understand? And when you function like that, then there will be Shri Vijaya. Wealth, victory and glory, all will be there. If this is not there, then all three will not be there. You will be constantly disturbed. So this is the last topic from 74 to 78. Sanjaya glorifies Krishna and this wonderful dialogue. Which means what? We should also glorifying by just talking about it or a great text it is and all is not. Real glorification is when your actions speak of it. One other way. So now let's get on to verse number 1.
अर्जुन उवाच सन्यासस्य महाबाहो तत्त्वमिच्छामि वेदितुम् त्यागस्य च ऋषिकेश पृथक्केशिनिषूधन अर्जुन उवाच सन्यासस्य महाबाहो तत्त्वमिच्छामि वेदितुम् त्यागस्य च ऋषिकेश पृथक्केशिनिषूधन
Arjuna Vacha, Arjuna said. Arjuna asked a question to Sri Krishna, but he asked a question respectfully to Sri Krishna, which is expressed through the words that he uses to address Sri Krishna, the names. So he says, I wish to know distinctly, O Mahabaho, O Mighty Arm, O Krishna, what do I wish to know? The truth of sannyas, renunciation. O Rishikesha, O Rishikesha, and of Thyaga, relinquishment, O Keshini Shudana. Mighty arm, slayer of demon Keshi, Keshini Shudana, and Lord of senses, Rishikesha. Three different names are used. Just glorifying each other, showing the humility of Arjuna. And he is saying, please, I would like to know the difference between what is Tyag and what is Sannyas. Because Arjuna is in the mood of what? Sannyas. Though he is not in really ready for Sannyas. You understand? See, this knowledge should not be given to anybody. The end he will say this, of this chapter. Should not be given to anybody and everybody. Who should? Have the bhakti and seek it. Only to them you should give this. Similarly, sannyas cannot be given to anybody and everybody. I am talking about lifestyle sannyas. You understand? So, Arjuna is not ready for renunciation of action. You understand? Yet, he wants to do that. Why? Because he has to fight against his own guru and great grandfather. And not just fight, he has to kill them. You understand? His own guru and his great grandfather, who actually renounced the throne for which they are fighting. Bhishma is the one who actually should be the king, no? You know the story, right? He renounced. So that person was eliminated. So he finds a lot of problem. So therefore he says, I want to renounce. So you seem to be talking about sannyas, tyag and all that. So let me ask this. Please explain to me clearly, what is sannyas, what is tyag? So I'm still not clear. Or he may have few clarifications, he just wants to know that from Sri Krishna, so that those doubts are also removed. And thanks to Arjuna, we get more clarifications. You understand? So he says, I wish to know distinctly, O Mahabaho. Please explain to me, more in detail, Mahabaho. Mahabaho means mighty armed. Mighty armed means really strong person, who has no enemies, meaning no desires. Desires make you weak. Nothing else. And the truth of sannyasa, renunciation and tyaga, who Rishika Isha, who Lord of senses, one who is perfectly controlled. All senses are listening to him. He is not dancing according to the tunes of senses. Keshini Shudana, killer of demon, Keshi. The demon within us, according to Shastras, is vasanas, desires. He has removed that, killed it. So, this is Arjuna's question. Now let's say what Sri Krishna answers.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam, Sanyasam Kavayo Viduhu, Sarva Karma Phalatyagam, Rahusyagam Vichakshana, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam, Sanyasam Kavayo Viduhu, Sarva Karma Phalatyagam, Prahustyagam Vichakshana. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Blessed Lord said, in reply to Arjuna's question, he says, Kavayaha, sages. The sages, great sages understand. Rishis, they understand. What do they understand? They understand that sannyasa to be renunciation of kamya karma, desire-ridden actions. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam is sannyasam. What is sannyas? Our renunciation of desire-ridden actions. Then what is tyag? The relinquishment of fruit of all actions. Sarva karma palatyagam. Sarva karma palatyagam. The renunciation of the fruit of all actions. That is what is declared by the wise as tyaga. No, explain it. Don't get confused. There is daily routine obligatory duty to your body, to your personality, to your children, to your parents, to your brothers, sisters, to your neighborhood, to the humanity, to the other species, everything. Daily routine, obligatory duties, nitya karma. Then there is kamya karma, desire-ridden actions, which are my desires. Are you with me? That's called as kamya karma. Then there is something called as nishiddha karma, the actions that's forbidden. Are you with me? Which are not to be done at all. Then prayaschitta karma. So I have done something, I am doing it as a prayaschitta. I have done some pap. So now I want to eliminate those pap, so I am doing some kind of good karma. People do all sorts of dhanam and this and that. You understand? Prayaschitta karma. Then finally what is called as naimittika karma. This special obligatory duty. Some special obligatory duty comes now every now and then. Right? And suddenly there is some kind of and then, you know, even the gross level, I can say, you're coming on the road, the traffic gets stuck. Sometimes it's better that you get down and you kind of do something so that the traffic eases up, you know. It could be that, or somebody's function is there, you need to probably do something, or somebody is not well, you need to do that for them. These are all special obligatory duties. All he says is, sannyasa is renouncing second, third, fourth, which is kamya karma, nishiddha karma and prayaschitta karma, and doing only nitya karma and naimittika karma. You understand? Sannyasa means what? Not renunciation of action. You understand? Doing what you ought to do. Obligatory. Are you with me? Daily routine obligatory and special obligatory. If you are a grahastha, now if you are a sannyasi, if you have taken a lifestyle sannyasi, which is what? Taking up a robe. You understand? If you go into brahmacharya ashrama, from brahmacharya ashrama you go to grahastha, from grahastha you go to vanaprastha, finally you come to sannyasi. It's not in reverse order. Are you with me? So if you take the lifestyle sannyasa, which means majority of these obligations that as a grahastha you have, you don't have. You may have some other duties as a sannyasa. Supposing you are running an ashram as a sannyasi, you have certain obligatory duties. But all these things you don't have. But even a sannyasi has those set of actions. Are you with me? So just performing them, none of these desire then or any other type of activities, that is called sannyas. Now, even if you are doing nitya karma, naimitika karma, you are doing your routine, daily routine obligatory duties or special obligatory duties, you may do it purely without thinking about the fruit, or you may do it with something in return, expecting something in return. Correct or not? If I bring up my children now, if I invest in my children, tomorrow maybe they will take care of me. That sort of fruit expectation is there, no? Are you with me? Anxiety for the fruit, craving for the fruit is there. That when you renounce, it's called tyag.
Yeah.
So what as grahasthas we should do? We should not stop action. When did he say stop action? Bhagavad Gita will make you do action. A lot of people think, Ali Baba, if I go to Gita, I will stop acting. That's why they are scared. Why so young? Why are you taking to Gita when you are young? Take it after 60.
Huh.
No. If you take to Gita now, you will remove all the other extra paraphernalia. You will do the actions renouncing the root. So, Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam sarva karma phala tyagam tyagam. Now you understand? Even those obligatory duties you should do with no axe to grind. Simply do it. If you want to understand this better, remember the Nike slogan. Just do it. There is no prefix. No suffix. Simply do. So this is what Sri Krishna says. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam. So what you are supposed to renounce? Desire-ridden activities. Stop acting propelled by your desires. Start acting propelled by the ideal or goal. Something beyond your selfish, selfless, unselfish. Act selflessly. Simply express your nature in the welfare of the total. That's all. Which is already spoken many times. Now he is just summarizing. You understand? Simply do that. That's what everybody else is doing. Any other species is doing that. Only human being thinks that if I do this, what will I get? Are you noticing or not noticing? At least he should have said thanks more. You understand? That sort of a thing. You know? Just do it. No prefix, no suffix. So now it's clear, sannyas and tyag. So basically, it's not like option between the two. One is with reference to the past, other is with reference to the future. Your desire comes from the past, no? Your ego comes from the past. Patanako, Rabako, it's coming from the past. You understand? A past you clip. A sannyasi, when he takes the sannyasi lifestyle also, he takes the akar robe. Akar robe represents fire, which is burning the ego. The past, all the ties they break. Isn't it? When Buddha took sannyasi, he broke all the ties. Enough? So they add one ananda. Narendra became Vivekananda. You understand? So set the entire family ties and everything on fire. No bank balance, nothing. Sab kuch, forget bank balance, bank account bhi. You understand? Sab kuch ko you set it on fire. Ego, the past, has been set on the fire of knowledge of the self. And as a result, everybody attains the state of ananda. You understand? So a new name, Vivekananda, Chinmayananda, Yogananda, etc. is given. You understand? So that is the sannyas. And even after that, when you do the action, that also renounces the fruit. That is tyaga. Simply doing like any other species doing in this universe. Next. Tyajyam dosavaditeke, tyajyam dosavaditeke, karma prahur manishinaha, karma prahur manishinaha, yajna dhana tapakarma, yajna dhana tapakarma, natyajamiti chapare, natyajamiti chapare, tyajyam dosavaditeke, karma prahur manishinaha, yajna dhana tapakarma, natyajamiti chapade. Some philosopher. Now Krishna is just quoting within inverted commas. Different people have different opinions. He is just quoting it. He says, some philosophers declare what? Action should be relinquished as evil. All actions. Doesn't matter when. Even Nitya Naimitika also you should not. Simply sit down. It's easier said than done. The most difficult thing to do is to sit quiet. Ramana Maharishi says, Summa iru. Summa iru means keep quiet. That's the most difficult thing. Isn't it? Can you simply sit down without a book? Without watching TV, without phone? You go mad. You want some kind of relationship. At least if people say hello, greetings. No? So, some philosophers declare thus action should be relinquished as evil. You understand? And that is not possible while you are in this body. Unless you reached the ultimate state of moksha. Others declare that yajna dana tapa. Yajna means sacrifice, sacrificial actions. Dana, giving, and tapas, austerity. We discussed this in detail last chapter, no? Chapter 17. Yajna, dana, tapa. At any cost, this should not be relinquished. Right? In short, what he is trying to slowly take us to is, ultimately, sannyas and tyag ko differentiation kar diya. You understand? But now I know theoretically. But practically have we reached that state? No. Therefore, he says, you need to purify yourself to reach that state. And since majority belongs to that state where we all require purification, we should not give up yajna dana tapa. So, if you through yajna dana tapa, you remove the desires, and then you reach that state, then you reach that state where there is no action. It's not possible to renounce action without renouncing dualship. But that's a very high level. You understand? So therefore, for majority, what is the next kind of philosophers, what do they say? Yajna dana tapa should not be relinquished. And Krishna will say, that is my opinion also. Next few verses if you see, he'll say, that is my opinion also, Baba. What? Don't renounce yajna dana tapa. We'll see those verses. Next verse. Nishchayam shunu me tatra, nishchayam shunu me tatra, tyage bharata sattama, tyage bharata sattama, tyago hi purusha vyagra, tyago hi purusha vyagra, trivedat samprakirtitatah, trivedat samprakirtitatah, nishchayam shunu me tatra, tyage bharata sattama, tyago hi purusha vyagra, trivedat samprakirtitatah. Hear from me clearly on tyaga, relinquishment. Now I am going to talk to you very clearly in clear details as to what is relinquishment. O Bharata Sattama, O best of Bharatas. And you know, one way to do communication is to keep praising the fellow. And they want to listen to you more and more. Suppose you say, you better listen to me, you idiot, you will stop listening to me.
Okay.
Now, so if you say, oh, you are the best amongst Bharatas, Arjuna, he is also the best, he wanting to know all that. And then, Tyaga really has been declared to be threefold Purusha Vyagra. Purusha Vyagra means, Vyagra means tiger. You are a tiger among men. You understand? You would like to... you are a tough guy, man. You would like to reach that state, in that sense. So he says, I will clearly talk on Tyaga, and it is also threefold. So I will explain to you the threefold Tyaga and all that. So now he quoted, some people say all actions should be given up, some people say Ajay Nana Tapa should not be given up, and then he says there are threefold Tyaga, and now he is going to say what is his opinion, which Arjuna is interested. You understand?
यज्ञदानतपकर्म न त्याज्यं कार्यमेव तत् न त्याज्यं कार्यमेव तत् यज्ञो दानं तपश्चैव पावनानि मनीषिणां यज्ञदानतपकर्म न त्याज्यं कार्यमेव तत् यज्ञो दानं तपश्चैव Pavanani Manishinam.
The act of sacrifice, yajna, dhanam, gift, and tapa, austerity, should not be relinquished, should not be given up. That indeed should be performed. Yajna, dhana, tapa are indeed purifiers of the wise. So in other words, even if you are studying the scriptures, if you practice austerity, tapas, again get back to chapter 17 to know little more details of yajna, dana, tapa, we discussed in detail. So, even though you are studying, put in that effort, practice discipline. You understand? The dana, gift, and yajna, worship, all these things, what do? They purify us. They keep on purifying the individual. Therefore, Krishna says, in his opinion, even this should not be given up. Right? All this. Arjuna, please continue to do yajna dana tapa. Why? They make you pavitram.
Purifying.
Yes. You understand? See, in fact, according to Hindu Dharma, that is precisely why even for some people marriage is required. If you can be independent without any companionship requirement, you are not at all any requirement of physical or emotional or any companionship needed, then why you get into marriage? There is no need. But if you have that, what is the purpose of that? To grow your love. You understand? Perhaps till marriage you have not learned to share or sacrifice. You know, the moment you bring in somebody else into your life, you begin to share. And then you bring out children and a lot more sharing. So it's basically for the sake of dissolving the ego. So that is why it's called Grihastha Ashrama, Brahmacharya Ashrama. Ashrama you go for what purpose? To dissolve the ego. You understand? When you go to ashrama, brahmacharya ashrama, grahastha ashrama, anaprastha ashrama, sannyasa ashrama, ultimately the ego has to be completely burnt. Therefore, this will help you. Yajna dana tapa, along with your studies and everything, continue doing. Then you will slowly become more and more purified. One more verse will do and we will conclude.
एतान् यपितु कर्माणि संगं त्यक्त्वा फलानि च कर्तव्यानीति मे पात निश्चितं मतमुत्तमम् एतान् यपितु कर्माणि संगं त्यक्त्वा फलानि च कर्तव्यानीति मे पात निश्चितं मतमुत्तमम्.
Now, how do you do these activities? He says, but even these actions, which action is he referring to? Yajnadana tapa. These Yajnadana tapa actions also should be performed how? Relinquishing attachment and fruit. You should not get attached to even those activities. Yajna, I am doing. So you are doing some gift to somebody, understand Bhagwan is giving it through you. That's all. You are not giving. Bhagavan is giving it through you. You understand? So therefore, that activity also, of course it should be performed, but even that should be performed without attachment and fruit, and this is my firm and highest conviction. So Sri Krishna says, this is my firm and highest conviction. What? Simply keep doing yajna dana tapa, but with no I and mine. No attachment whatsoever, not craving for anything in expectation in return. Simply do it. Then you will become purified and reach that state. Let's conclude.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. सकलं परस्मै सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.
The link for here, the lecture is still the same.